Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
This is an announcement to all United States vehicle owners who own a 2003 or newer vehicle with a manufacturer's warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all. With a struggling economy and the cost of living on the rise, Endurance is now offering an affordable, low-cost vehicle coverage plan to the general public. As of today, you could be one of millions of drivers that now may qualify to have your vehicle protected under this coverage and have all future covered auto repairs paid directly to the repair shop for you. You pick your plan, you pick your deductible, you even pick the repair shop. Roadside service, towing, and rental coverage is included. To all United States vehicle owners who own a 2003 or newer vehicle with a manufacturer's warranty about to expire, get your vehicle protected now and save your wallet from costly vehicle repairs. For your free 5-minute quote and to see if you qualify, visit endurancewarranty.com. Endurancewarranty.com.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 7-9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
Warning, Check the Locks podcast is a true crime podcast and may contain graphic descriptions of violence, murder, sexual assault, and more. Check the Locks podcast is not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome back to Check the Locks podcast. As always, I'm John Connor.
I'm Olivia Cornu.
Saying thank you for joining us this week as we dive into yet another truly terrifying true crime case. Before we get started, as always, Olivia, my friend, my stuffed up colleague, my runny nose little co-host, how's it going? How are you doing?
Well, I've been doing great, but all of a sudden in the last few hours, I've gotten very itchy is what I want to describe it as. I'm very itchy. My eyes are itchy. My nose is running. Half running, half stuffy. I feel like I could just scratch my face off. Itchy.
Oh, geez.
But it's only been like this for a few hours. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good. Sounds like you need an oatmeal bath. So get yourself some Quaker and jump on in there.
Throat's itchy. Everything's just itchy.
Yeah, Millie's actually been having some stuff too with her eyes just from like the allergies and stuff like that. So. She's not usually in eyes. It's a fight to put eye drops in her eyes normally because, you know, little kids are, it's like, get it. No, no. It's like water torture. But
I can teach you a little trick.
Well, she's good now. Like we got some steroid ones from the doctor and now she's a pro. She's just like, I'll just put my head back, Dad. But I think it's that first where, you know, it's just something being in your eye, even if it doesn't hurt, it's weird you out, but. She's doing great now, but for the other parents listening, what's the trick?
Yeah, so if you tilt their head back and then just have them close their eyes, this is how I put my eye drops in. I was taught it a long time ago. Close your eyes and you drop it in the corner of your eyes. And then when you feel the drops there, you kind of just open your eye and let it roll in. It just rolls in.
Oh.
Rolls in instead of like trying to hold it open and drop, drop, drop. Yeah.
Well, that would have been helpful 2 weeks ago.
No. Well, next time, phone your nurse practitioner friend. Yeah.
No, I'm one of those just like, hold your eyes
you
open.
Don't have to do that.
Get it in there. But no, I'm sorry that your allergies are acting up and bothering you. And hopefully, I know you said you took a Zyrtec here. So hopefully that kicks in soon. You're feeling a little bit better. I've been doing well. We were talking a little bit. I don't know if... Yeah, it's an audio podcast, so you can't see. But today I am wearing mesh black gym shorts and a mesh black sleeveless
muscle shirt.
Yeah, which I do not have the muscles for. I was telling Olivia that I look like a goth kid who was just like, I'm into fitness now. So it's not my usual look, but
it's like just been sweating in Nashville.
Right. Well, it's, you know, I think it's maybe like if I dress this way, then maybe like. you know, I'll just
go to
start
the gym,
leaning towards wanting to go to the gym. You know, it's like dress for the job you want kind of thing.
Right.
So, I was like, that is the most out of shape guy I've ever seen in workout clothes. Very, very inactive wear is what I call it.
When so. People ask why we don't do this as a video, we are the true representation as to why. I'm in a green shirt with a black and red flannel shirt over top of it.
Yeah. We're very, very high fashion on this podcast, but the week's been good. We had our friend Javi's 39th birthday party, which you've met Javi when you were here for.
Yes.
For my birthday, and great, great dude. One of my best friends. And we had karaoke, which, I mean, you know,
based off your birthday party, I could see that being Javi's jam.
And he had a lot of drinks. So he was very, very into it. So we had a great time, and I was a pool party. So got to beat the heat. It is here. It's going to be in the mid 90s all week this week. And so it's like getting hot early here. So, you know, any chance we get now to get into the water, we're definitely taking. But it's been pretty good week, and you know, everybody having fun this weekend. Kid got to stay with Mimi and all that, so it's been fun.
Well, nice. Well, what do you think about just getting into our episode?
Dude, let's do it, because I am super excited to break this episode down for you. I know I say that all the time, but I was not familiar with this episode, or with this case, I should say. And as I started digging into it and doing the research on it, I was like, ooh, Olivia might have a lot to say, or this might interest her quite highly. So I was excited to break it down. So if you're good with it, I'm down. We can go ahead and jump on into it. Quit the Gabby Gabby, get to the Stabby Stabby, break down this week's case. What do you think?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. This week, we are heading to Canada in the small town of Kipling, Saskatchewan. On Halloween night, 1992, 20-year-old Candace Candy Fognay was working at a local convenience store. Her boyfriend at the time had stopped by to visit, and the two ended up getting into a terrible fight. Candy, fed up with the argument, left the store, heading to Kipling Memorial Union Hospital, hoping to vent to her best friend who worked there at the time. But when Candy arrived, she found that her friend had left for the day, and it was then that she broke down. A nurse noticed that Candy was visibly upset and suggested that she see the doctor. She agreed and was eventually greeted by Dr. John Schneeberger. Schneeberger was born in North Rhodesia, now known today as Zambia, in South Africa. After receiving his medical degree from Stellenbosch University in 1987, he moved to Canada, settling in the small town of Kipling and becoming a Canadian citizen in 1993. And Candy was familiar with Dr. Schneeberger. Not only was he her primary care physician, but he also had delivered her baby. Candy explained what had happened that evening, and the doctor offered something to calm her nerves. She thought Schneeberger would give her a muscle relaxer of some sort, so she was surprised when he pulled out a syringe before proceeding to give Candy a dose of Versed. Now, this particular medication is used as a sedative and is usually used for the induction of general anesthesia. Candy, like most of us, trusted her doctor, so she agreed to the shot. But after the injection, she felt something was wrong. Candy began to feel numb, unable to control her muscles. And as she fell over on the hospital bed, she tried to yell, but nothing came out. Candy was completely immobilized, but awake. And it was during this sedated state that Candy believes that she had been sexually assaulted. When she regained consciousness, she removed her panties and had the wherewithal to place them in an airtight bag. She badly wanted to leave the hospital, but she was still too dizzy from the medication, so another nurse insisted that she stay overnight. When she woke in the morning, Candy left the hospital, having not shared any details about the alleged rape with anyone. But before she left, she confronted Dr. Schneeberger. The doctor denied any wrongdoing, telling Candy that this particular medication that she was given was known to cause vivid and sometimes sexual hallucinations. But Candy wasn't sold. She knew something had happened, and she was going to prove it. So after leaving the hospital, Candy drove 2 hours from Kipling to a rape clinic, where DNA testing found semen on both her panties and pants, as well as on a vaginal swab done at the clinic. Additionally, a blood test was done that proved Candy had been injected with Versed. And that is when Candy went to the police, formally accusing Dr. John Schneeberger of rape. Now remember, Kipling was a small town, and many in the community believed that Candy was lying. I mean, there's just no way that a respected doctor would assault their patient. Some speculated that Candy had tried to steal Dr. Schneeberger from his wife, Lisa, and these charges were just a way to get back at him because he didn't return her affection. Others believed that she was a single mother trying to make money by accusing an honest man of rape. Dr. Schneeberger proclaimed his innocence, and to settle the matter, he voluntarily offered a blood test. The DNA from the test was sampled and compared to the evidence in Candy's rape kit, and it was not a match. Candy was shocked. She knew that she had been assaulted and the doctor had done it, but she couldn't understand how the DNA just didn't match. Sadly, it would take the young woman 7 years to receive any answers.
John, this case is wild so far. First off, like, how scary to go in just to go talk to your friend, and the next thing you know, you're seeing your physician who's there to try to calm you down, and then this chain of events happens. Yes, Versed does can cause, I guess, some vivid dreams, but it's mostly an amnesiac. So, like, is meant to make you not remember before anesthesia starts, you know, that kind of thing. So it's just kind of wild that she has these moments where she thinks that it's a certain person, but I'm shocked to know that his DNA didn't match.
Well, and what's crazy too, and there's a really good episode of Forensic Files on this, which is, you know, one of the things I stumbled across in the research. It is linked. The great thing about Forensic Files is, like, every episode is on YouTube, so you can go in, like, these wormholes and stuff. But, you know, one of the things they touched on in that episode when I was kind of just doing some research on this was, yes, Versed may cause hallucinations, right? But it doesn't cause semen to show up in places where it wasn't before, right?
Not at all. That's not how that works.
Right. And in an interview, you know, Candy was like, I hadn't had sex with anybody in, like, weeks before this. So, you know, it came from somewhere, and, you know, she's convinced that this is what happened, you know? So it's really crazy to be like, well, it was me and you here, and the DNA's not matching. And I'm sure if you're that person, you got to be panicking a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, what do you say? Do you want to hear more?
Yeah, let's keep going.
Okay. After the DNA evidence exonerated Dr. John Schneeberger, he continued to practice medicine. And he, as well as others in the community, were ready to move forward. But Candy couldn't. She knew that she had been assaulted, and she truly believed that it was by the doctor. Over the next year, she continued to accuse him, insisting that someone at the hospital must have tampered with the blood sample. So in August of 1993, Dr. Schneeberger agreed to yet a second blood test. This time, his blood was drawn by a registered nurse while being monitored by the police. To avoid any potential tampering of evidence, the sample was taken directly from the hospital to the forensics lab. Another test was completed, and like the first sample, it was not a match. Again, Candy was left dumbfounded. She didn't understand how it couldn't be positive, and the community had turned on her as well, with many believing that she was continuing to lie about what happened. It was at this point that Candy decided to hire her own private detective. And in an attempt to gather evidence, this PI broke into Dr. Schneeberger's car, collecting several hairs from the headrest and a tube of chapstick. It would later be determined that the hair had no roots attached, so it cannot be tested. But the tip of the lip balm contained skin cells, and those cells did contain enough DNA. So another test was done, this time with Candy paying for it out of pocket. And when the results came back, Candy was finally vindicated. The DNA from the chapstick was a perfect match to the sample in her rape kit. Now, she should have been happy, but there was two problems. First, there was no way to prove that the skin cells belonged to Dr. Schneeberger. Second, the private investigator had illegally obtained the sample by breaking into the doctor's car, so there was no way that this evidence would be allowed in court. Also, there was still the question of why. Why did the sample from the chapstick match the rape kit, but not the blood sample? This was a question that Candy was determined to find the answer to. So she decided to file a civil lawsuit against Dr. Schneeberger, with Candy sitting across from the doctor's wife, Lisa, in court. Feeling pressured, Schneeberger agreed to yet another blood test. Now, like the last test, it was videotaped by police, only this time it was done at the forensics lab. The technician informed the doctor that this time they would like to take the sample from his finger instead of his arm, as had been done in the previous test. But the doctor protested. He told the technician that he had a disease that caused severe bruising when giving blood, and because of this, he requested that the sample be taken from his arm. Schneeberger was giving the blood voluntarily and couldn't be forced to have it taken from the finger, so it was taken from his arm as requested. This time, though, the technician seemed to have a little trouble drawing the blood. When she inserted the needle into the vein, nothing seemed to come out. Thinking it was a vacuum issue with the syringe and tube, she tried again, this time successfully. But she noticed that the vein seemed a little larger than normal, and when examined, the technician thought the blood looked older than it should. When finally tested, the new sample appeared to be too degraded to pull a DNA profile. Candy was again at a standstill. Something wasn't adding up, and she was all out of options. The police were also suspicious, but because the samples continued to rule Schneeberger out, they couldn't charge him with anything. That is until April 5th, 1997, when evidence in the doctor's own home would finally shed new light on Candy's case. So, Olivia, before we go any further, what are you thinking? Where's your head at?
Okay, first thought is this place has to be such a small little town. Because I feel like the phlebotomist is in on it. Because how this man is going through some extreme lengths to have like someone else's blood or something is what I'm getting at. That he must be using somebody else's blood or I don't really know. But this is so bizarre.
It is super bizarre. And you are totally right. So Kipling, again, in the research, it is a very small town. One of the things they touched on was that there's actually more livestock there than there is people.
Okay.
So it really is one of those, like, everybody knows everybody's business. And especially if you're somebody like Candy, who's like, hey, this guy raped me.
Right.
And I have evidence that says he did. All the evidence is the town is collecting, the local police are collecting and says he didn't. You know, I would be, if I was Candy, I think I would be furious because it's the same thing. You know, something's going on, but you don't know what it is or. And, you know, DNA is the thing that you're supposed to be able to be like, yes, this is for sure the person who did this. So it is crazy to think that you could have the same person with different DNA results in different tests. It's kind of a nuts story.
It really is. Like, I need us to keep going.
All right. Well, let's do it. It had been 5 years since Candy was sexually assaulted. And it was at this point that Lisa Schneeberger's daughter from her first marriage claimed that her stepfather had been sexually assaulting her for several years. According to the teenager, Schneeberger would sneak into her room at night, using a syringe to dose the girl with some type of drug. And when Lisa Schneeberger searched the doctor's home office, she made a startling discovery. A box filled with needles, condoms, and drugs. One of those drugs was Versed. Dr. John Schneeberger was arrested and again ordered to take another DNA test. Again, the test was videotaped, and police took several samples, including hair, saliva, and blood, this time taken from the finger instead of the arm. And when these three samples were tested, all three matched the DNA found in Candy's rape kit. The proof was finally there, but for Candy, it was bittersweet, as it took a child getting sexually assaulted for years for the truth to come out. However, the big question still lingered. How was Schneeberger able to pass the previous blood tests? The answer would finally be revealed during the doctor's trial in November of 1999.
Hey, I'm Dr. Z, and I'm a neurosurgeon. So that means long hours, early rounds, late nights, and everything in between. And through it all, I wear Figs. Because they're built for what I do. Through the chaos, through the hours, and through whatever the day throws at me, they do their job so I can do mine. They're comfortable when it counts, and functional when I need them the most. So where do you wear your Figs? On shift, on call, on the couch in the break room, listening to this podcast? Wherever it is, they fit right in. And now listeners of this podcast can get 15% off their first order. Just head to wearfigs.com and use code FIGSRX at checkout. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust, Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Schneeberger was charged with the rape of both Candy and his stepdaughter. And while testifying in the case, he told the jury that he had surgically implanted a plastic tube filled with the blood of one of his male patients into his left arm. That is why Schneeberger didn't want the blood to come from his finger. And it also explained why the technician in the forensic lab not only had a hard time drawing a sample, but also why the blood did not appear fresh as it had been in the tube for years. Schneeberger's attorneys also offered a wild reason as to why the doctor would go through such drastic measures. According to the defense, Schneeberger never raped Candy. Instead, they argued that she had broken into the doctor's home and stolen a used condom, using the semen to frame him. Schneeberger claimed that he used his patient's blood for the DNA test because it was the only way that he could possibly defend himself. But the court didn't buy it, and Dr. John Schneeberger was found guilty of sexually assaulting and drugging Candy, as well as obstruction of justice. He was also found guilty of sexually assaulting his stepdaughter. And for all of these heinous charges, he was sentenced to a whopping 6 years in prison, only to be released on parole in 2003 after serving just 4 years. He would be stripped of his Canadian citizenship when authorities learned that he had lied about being involved in a police investigation in his birth country. He was ultimately deported back to South Africa in 2004, where he remains a permanent citizen today. So, Olivia, that's this week's case. What are you thinking? Where's your head at? What you got?
OMG is all I can say. This is insane. To go and implant a, like, container in your arm of someone else's blood is insanity. This person isn't truly insane. Like that, I mean, how? How did he do that alone, number one? Number two, this man must have a pain tolerance through the roof if he did it on his own without any analgesia. Like, that's crazy to me. Just to go to such extreme measures.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
Well, and it's crazy too because, again, you know, I did watch that Forensic Files, and they videotaped when he was getting blood drawn.
I want to go and watch that. Like, if he's sitting in the little detainment room or whatever.
Yeah, and it you can see, they pointed out, but when he's pulling up his sleeve, he's being very careful. The way it looks like he did it was up at a certain point, he made an incision and then slid the tube down into his arm. And you have to think, too, for it to not look like there's a tube in your arm, like you have to go probably pretty deep, right? So, because otherwise you'd have, you know, if it was just at the skin, you'd have like this protruding little, they'd be like, oh, there's something there. Or like, it feels like plastic, or, you know what I mean? It wouldn't feel the same.
Yeah, it wouldn't feel the same. Like when you inject into somebody's like chemo port, it's like you feel it.
Yeah. And what's crazy is it's only there for a split second. But when he's telling her that, like, oh no, you can't get it from my finger, it has to be from my arm, he's adjusting his sleeve and there's like a frame where he extends his arm and pulls his sleeve up, and you can see the tube like sticking out of his arm here.
That's so wild.
Yeah. So it's insane. And then also, like, you can't have a different DNA profile, right? So like he's using the same tube
of blood, like the same person. And right, obviously not getting there. A fresh sample.
Yeah, he put it in there and just left it there because, you know, I'm sure after the second one, he's like, well, I'm good now. You know what I mean? I don't have to. Yeah.
You would think he would take it out.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. That's insanity to me. Well, that is like true insanity.
Yeah. And I'm sure in his head, he's like, God, this lady. I mean, I just want to take this tube out. That she keeps.
I want to be done. Like, it's okay. Not my DNA.
Yeah.
But then it's just so sad to know that his stepdaughter was being assaulted and for her to have to come forward for them to believe poor Candy, you know?
Yeah.
It's like she told you something happened. You have semen DNA evidence. Like, figure it out. Test the whole hospital for all I would care. That's what I would say. Test every CNA, housekeeper, anybody that came into my room that day, you need to test their DNA and figure it out.
And to know that something happened to you, and then
the violation
to be told that you're lying and to have an entire community basically turn on you.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to be number one, so hard to go through during that. But then what should be a vindicating moment to be like, I told you, you know, I told you this happened to me. To find that out because a child was assaulted. You know what I mean? Like there's, you don't even get the like. It's just another tragedy on top of a tragedy. You know what I mean? And then you have the third tragedy of this guy only getting sentenced to 6 years in prison. You would think, like, if you are drugging, you know, a grown woman and a child to rape them, and then you're tampering with evidence by planting plastic and, you know, you're giving false DNA samples.
Right.
You would think that would warrant a little bit more than 6 years in prison. 6 years.
And to get out early for 4 years. Like, those are two big crimes. But I guess since they let him out, they deported him. But still, he's still a monster and he's at risk of hurting someone else back in South Africa. So, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. And who knows, like, what he's up to now.
Yeah.
I couldn't really find a whole heck of a lot. Him. Yeah.
But yeah, I guess over there, he's not a criminal.
No. And that's the thing. In the research, it said that, I touched on it a little bit, but it said that he had lied about being involved in a criminal investigation in South Africa when he applied for his Canadian citizenship. So he was involved in something, just it didn't really kind of go
into what it was.
Right. But, you know, people like this don't stop. You know what I mean? So,
I mean, you're doing it to your own stepdaughter.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's heartbreaking, really, and it's funny because in one of the interviews, he had applied for parole like much earlier because the sentence was so low, and while they were doing the interview, Candy got the phone call that his parole had been denied, and she was like, you know, it's funny because like growing up in Michigan, I grew up around a lot of Canadian people, and so just their way of talking. Even when they're talking about something bad, it's still like they're still very polite and like upbeat about it. You know what I mean? So she's like, oh, I knew this guy, you know, I knew that he had done this to me. And her mom actually says a in one of them. I was like, oh, I fucking love Canadians. So. But I was just, you know, so happy to be like, oh, well, they figured it out because. You know, there is a very good chance they may have, if she didn't keep pushing, they would have never found out. You know what I mean?
If the daughter had come away forward. You know, they never would have. He would have continued on and they would have caught him.
Yeah. I mean, I think he still would have got caught for the daughter, but if she hadn't continued to push, or let's say she was like, I'm just going to move someplace else and try to put this behind me or something. Yeah. Like, this whole town hates me. I'm just going to leave. You know, she may have never got the justice for that. And they may have only looked at the daughter's case. So, you know, who knows? But it's just, even though the sentence is a legitimate joke, the fact that he was exposed for what he was doing and that Candy got that validation of being like, I wasn't lying. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't trying to get somebody's money. I wasn't trying to sleep with anybody's husband. I wasn't trying to ruin anybody's reputation. I was raped. And now you know it, you know, that's the part of the story where I'm like, whew, well, you know, I'm glad that that's the outcome that we got.
Yeah.
But if we're talking deadbolt test, where does something like this fall for you? I know this is a crazy one because, like, you work in the medical profession. Like, we, like, trust our doctors. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, this doctor's got some guts. I'm putting it up higher. I'm putting it at a 7. I know this is so far-fetched and probably won't ever happen again or doesn't commonly happen. So it's very rare to think that, like, this could happen again or to someone. But, I mean, it's happened once. It can happen again. But I think just the sense of being a woman and sometimes feeling gaslit by society, I feel relatable in a sense that, like, she is saying something happened to me and I know this person did it to me and no one seems to listen. And so on that perspective, I'm putting it up higher. And to know that you can go in and trust your doctor and he can sedate you to the point that you are unable to function and sexually assault you is terrifying.
Yeah, 100%. I think it also adds a lot of credence to the fact, you know, when we talk about why women don't report things, right? Mm-hmm. Because, like, oh, people aren't going to believe me, or, you know, they're afraid to come forward because of what people will say or what they'll think. And I think this is a really good example of that, right? Like, this woman came forward and she was told that she was a liar and, you know, was basically, you know, whoring around.
Right.
To use, like, you know, those kind of terms, right? Trying to get money from somebody, you know what I mean? So it's like, well, yeah, of course, like, when you see victims actually come forward telling the truth and they're ostracized.
Yeah.
You know, why wouldn't somebody be afraid to come forward and do that? You know what I mean? So, you know, I don't know if I would normally put it this high, but, like, I'm probably going to go about a 7 because, you know, as I've gotten older, there's been more and more procedures where it's like, we're going to put you under, you know what I mean? Like, I got my wisdom teeth out and they were like, okay, we're going to sedate you. Like, in a couple of years here, I'm going to have to go for a colonoscopy. I'm going to be, you know, I'm, from what I understand, they give you some stuff there. Like, I'm getting close to that age as well. I know, you know, we say there's things like this don't happen, but we just recently covered a case about a doctor who tried to burn another doctor's house down. And then right. There's been a few dentists that have been caught, like, sexually assaulting patients when they're sedated and stuff like that. So it's, you know, I know it's not the, you know, the norm, and it probably doesn't happen as much as some other things, but it is just scary to think that we go someplace and we know we're going to put ourselves into a vulnerable state, but because of who this profession is, right? Doctors and things like that. I think we have this, like, sense of trust built in, and it's scary to think that someone who's supposed to be a professional and someone who takes that oath to do no harm has the complete opposite intentions. You know, so that's just a scary thought. So I'm going to put it at 7. Well, that is where we fall on the deadbolt test for this week's case. Olivia and I are both coming in at 7s, but as always, we want to hear from you, the listeners, the locksmiths. Where does the case of Dr. John Schneeberger fall on your deadbolt test? You can let us know. Reach out to us on Instagram at Check the Locks Pod. You can find us on Twitter at Check the Locks. And if you're not in our Facebook group, what the heck are you doing? Come hang out with us. We'd love the opportunity to get the chance to hang out with you, hear what you think about those cases, and just get you to be part of our community. So if you're interested in coming hanging with us, there is a link to join the Facebook group in the description of the episode that you're listening to right now. And as always, we love to hear from you. We love your feedback. You can leave us Spotify comments. You can send us an email at contact@checkthelockspod.com. But we also love those Apple Podcast reviews. They help us out a lot. They get us into other shows, recommendations, help new listeners find the show. So, Olivia, if somebody wants to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, what's the best way to do that?
They need to go to the Apple Podcast app, go to our show's homepage, scroll down where you see all 5 stars, click all 5 of them, and leave us a little review and tell us what you think.
That's right. And Olivia always says it best, so I don't have to. Apple Podcasts, click those stars. Again, we love to hear from you. We love to get your feedback. If it's something we could be doing better, if there's something that we do sometime that we don't normally do and you like that, you know, let us know. We want to make sure that we're putting out the best content that we can for you. And again, we always just appreciate from, you know, hearing anybody who listens to us. So definitely leave us those reviews, smoke signals, however you want to do it. We would love to hear from you. And as always, if you want to financially support the show, you can do so by becoming a patron. Head over to patreon.com/checkthelocks and get signed up today. We got a lot of great benefits. Stickers, coffee mugs, stuff like that. Plus, you get the episodes commercial free. So if you love Check the Locks, but you hate those ads, Patreon is the way to go. So again, You want to help us out, throw us a few nickels, a few dimes. That's patreon.com/checkthelocks and get signed up today. And if you can't financially support the show, we definitely understand. Just listening and hanging out with us, sharing this show with the people you care about means just as much, if not more. So if that's you and you're listening and you're telling people to check out the pod, just know we appreciate it so much. Again, it's that grassroots growth is going to help us bring new listeners in the community. And that's really all we're trying to do is just grow our family as big as we can. So if you are sharing this in any way, shape, or form, just know we appreciate you more than we could ever tell you. That's all that we have for this week's case, but please make sure that you are subscribed to Check the Locks on your favorite podcast app so that you never miss an episode. We will see you again next week with another truly terrifying true crime case, but until then, don't forget to
check the locks.
See you next week.